is Healthy Seed.
The U.S. fires 22 Tomcat missiles on Muammar Gaddafi's forces while diplomats were meeting in London to discuss what countries could possibly take in Gaddafi in an attempt to get him to leave Libya. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We are here for you on the overnight highway. We start with the situation outside of our borders because so much is invested in there, at least monetarily. While our ship is sinking budgetary-wise, the deficit couldn't be any bigger. Well, I shouldn't say that. It could get bigger. The money keeps flowing as far as the hardware is concerned in the Libya battle. Ultimately, what's going to happen here? The president is talking about possibly arming the rebels, possibly providing the material they need. Which, what is the material they need? They need better weapons. Gaddafi has the best weapons. The rebels have the leftovers. So just days after speaking to the nation, the president says, we're getting it right, and you know what? We're praying a lot. Take a listen.
I do a lot of praying, absolutely. Every night, right before I go to bed, I am praying that I'm making the best possible decisions and that I've got the strength to serve the American people well. We are going to be looking at all options to provide support to the Libyan people so that we can transition towards more peaceful and more stable Libya. I think on Libya, we've gotten it right. That doesn't make it easy. It just means that we made the right decision for that moment.
Have we gotten it right? That is the question. Roger Madden, who often we turn to, everybody's favorite grandfather, the wise old man, says perhaps our current president is a little bit like Bush Light. What does he mean?
Last night, President Obama stated that the reason for starting the Libyan campaign was to halt the humanitarian crisis that was inevitable without our intervention. Let's call this Bush Light. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. If there was one message last night that President Obama enjoyed giving, was to explain to the American people that he was not George Bush, and that his 2002 condemnation of the contemplated Iraq War when he was an Illinois state senator hasn't changed one iota. And in fact, when presented with similar choices, he, President Obama, has handled it differently. So how is this foreign policy entanglement going to be different? President Obama explains. First, this is not a campaign for regime change. Second, it will not cost over $1 trillion and thousands of lives, both American and Libyan. Third, America will not go it alone, but rather will be part of a coalition sanctioned by the UN with a limited objective and of which it will not be its leader. Every strategy has risks, and what President Obama failed to explain to the American people is one risk that Muammar Gaddafi may survive this conflict by the creation of a divided Libya involved in a protracted civil war in which the coalition provides military and humanitarian supplies for years. And you can guess who will be leading that particular outcome and its concomitant costs. Another risk is that the coalition, along with the United States, loses interest in the whole matter, leaving Gaddafi to wait it out, which has been his game during his 42 years of brutal dictatorship. Meanwhile, a vengeful, enraged, perhaps a crazed Gaddafi terrorizes the various nations of the coalition, America included, for the pain it has caused him. President Obama wants desperately not to be George W. Bush, but having entered into this Libyan campaign, he will experience a fundamental truth. War has its own dynamic, its own destiny. President Obama will rail at the gods, but it will be George W. Bush all over again. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
Yeah, Roger has a point. It's interesting to see how the two regimes, I'll call them, actually compare and what ultimately will take place in Libya, things that were not said when the president addressed the nation, and ultimately how it all plays out in the next couple of weeks. Now, the diplomats, as I mentioned, meeting in London, this could be a bright spot. If Gaddafi leaves, then there's a change. But what is the change? That's the part that we also don't know. ultimately, it is still better, because at this point, you can't have Gaddafi staying. That means more of an investment. How many people met in England? 40 countries. There were other organizations. They were all there at this conference, and they agreed to establish what they're calling a Libya contact group to coordinate international responses to the crisis. So a think tank, if you will. A think tank that perhaps will find a place for Gaddafi should he need one and should he decide to accept, which would be the best case scenario at this point, really, with the money that's flowing and the possibility of troops on the ground, even though they're not saying that. I think then the best thing probably is for Gaddafi to get him, persuade him to go elsewhere. All right, persuasion and the art of it, it's lacking in D.C. when it comes to the budget. The Democrats and the Republicans are definitely not on the same page, and time is running out for sure. Senator Harry Reid knows that the clock is ticking on the Democratic side of things, and he's talking about the Tea Party. Then you have John Boehner, who is the Speaker of the House, of course, and he's talking about what a big mess it is and how the Democrats have messed this thing up. And Mitch McConnell, fellow Republican to John Boehner, says, you know, it's not helpful, this tug of war between both sides. Take a listen.
Republicans need to decide which is worse, angering their Tea Party base or shutting down the government and threatening our fragile economy even more. Time is running out. It takes a while to get things done. Because, you know, the House, they have to get a rule, and they have to give the notice. And then over here, it's difficult for us to get a bill up sometimes. So time's really becoming very, very important.
They've created this mess because they failed to do a budget. They failed to do appropriation bills. And it's time for the Senate to move a bill so that we can sit down and begin the negotiations. Instead of them issuing marching orders, maybe what they should do is get to work and actually pass a plan.
Our colleague Senator Schumer said, quote, "I always use the word extreme. That is what the caucus instructed me to use this week." That's really not helpful if we're trying to reach an agreement here.
Yeah, and the answer is there is no agreement on the table, and tempers are flaring, and time is running out. April 8th will be here before you know it. Coming up on America Tonight, we got a couple of good ones from the archives. Stan and Jerry coming up next to talk about Mexican trucking, among other things, and also the situation in the Southwest, and in the South, not just the Southwest, but just across the South, what's happened now because of illegal immigration and how that's been shelved because of all these other problems that the politicians are supposedly dealing with. Also, we're going to talk to David Morey. He's a Democratic strategist. We're going to pick his brain about the opposite. Who would be strong enough to run against Obama? It seems as though, rather, a new poll says the guy that I think, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is really dominating the field. He gets twice as many votes as his nearest Republican competitor, according to a new Newsmax Zogby International poll. He's not saying that he's in on this one, but there are a lot of people that want to see him run. And finally, sports. Oh, we're going to introduce you to just the cutest girl, U.S. Olympic athlete Hannah Teeter. She and I share something in common. It's called Helping Kids in Other Countries, Children's International. We'll see here what she has to say. All that and so much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Barry, only $9.95. Available at chachingwisdom.com. That's C-H-A-C-H-I-N-G-Wisdom.com. Chachingwisdom.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Wow, we're in a beautiful place, too. Sherman Oaks. This place is hopping, I'm telling you. The IHOP, they are lined up around the building. I don't know what it is. The Lakers aren't playing. That's probably why. Big news across the nation. And here in California, there was a lot of chatter about this, too. The Mexican trucks, the lifting of the ban on the Mexican trucks, of course, now has happened. The deal that our President Barack Obama cut with Snidely Whiplash, Felipe Calderon, across the border in Mexico scares me to death. You know, if nothing else, it's a safety thing. I think our next two guests have something that they might want to share on this, too, to shed some light. Stan Wald and Jerry Meisner, creators of something called Southern Exposure that we're going to get into here in a second that's very interesting. It's stuff we talk about all the time with the drug cartels and whatnot and illegal immigration on America Tonight. But first, I want to get both of their opinions on the new agreement between our prez and the Mexican president. Stan and Jerry, welcome to America Tonight. Thanks for popping on with us.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, Stan, let me have you tackle this first. Your reaction to the deal that was cut between Mexico and the U.S. finally. You know, this has been bandied about for a long time.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, it gives permission for Mexican business, Mexican trucks to come into our country far beyond the limits that were previously set. And in doing so, a lot of the people in this country, especially those in transportation industry, are extremely upset by it because, A, they say, when I say they, the president of Mexico, Calderon, and our president say that these truck drivers have to meet certain standards before they're going to be permitted to access into our country. We know from past experience none of that will take place. And a lot of these truck drivers are not familiar with laws in our country and are going to be permitted to drive on our freeways. It's just scary. Just scary to the citizens of this country. And I'm surprised that the truckers across the country haven't had a big major caravan down to the border to protest this.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, too. Jerry, this was started originally, remember, the Bush guys, the Bush administration originally gave the go-ahead with the pilot program, giving the Mexican trucks the greater access to our highways, despite some of these protests and whatnot. What do you think we can do? I guess what can we do? It's already a done deal. Get the truckers to do something. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I would think the Teamsters would know best how to
there
do something
go.
With this, you know? I mean, I've never been a big fan of the Teamsters Union, but in this case, their ox is the one getting gored. And another problem with that is a lack of inspections on the thing. I mean, they could be loading that thing up with God only knows what and trucking it north, and nobody, apparently, there are no challenges built into the system.
Yeah, we got some challenges for them. We'll be talking about this a lot on ATN. I want to jump to something else, though, because we and it kind of goes along the same lines. We're always talking about this here on ATN. You've got a new documentary, Southern Exposure. And in this documentary, you look at the consequences of illegal immigration, really specifically along the Arizona border, the drug cartels, the crime, what happens to public health, all that kind of stuff where people say, well, what's the big deal? So, Stan, in tackling this project, what were the surprising things you found out?
What I found out was the public at large is not being told the full story and scope of what illegal immigration, unchecked illegal immigration, is creating, the problems that it's creating in our country. And that's what prompted us to delve into this further and get the word out. You know, everyone looks at TV and watches the news, or they watch these programs, you know, whether it be Border Wars or one cop show or another. They all show the same thing. They all show, you know, here's illegal immigrants being captured by Border Patrol, and you have drug smugglers who are being apprehended by ICE and Border Patrol agents. But that's all you see, and that's all people think of when they think of the word illegal immigration. But it goes far beyond that. The diseases, you know, when people come into this country legally, they have to go through a medical background check and a criminal background check. When they come in through the back door, nothing is done. So we have diseases coming across this country, into our country, that were all but eradicated, tuberculosis, leprosy, et cetera. You know, and there's resurgence of these diseases, and, of course, the impact it has on hospitals, which is borne on the taxpayer and on the backs of the taxpayer. And then, of course, you have the criminality that's coming in, and these people are able to come back and forth across the border almost with impunity, and the criminal element that's infiltrating our cities, not just in the borders. Mm-hmm. You know, people think, well, it's just Arizona or Texas or California or New Mexico. No, it's going into North Carolina, Georgia, New York. You know, all major cities are being impacted by the criminality that's coming across. And it's horrible. We also discuss, you know, Jerry can elaborate, you know, whether we discuss the teachings in high school, like in Tucson, we identify there's a high school that's teaching Rasa studies, and what they're teaching in there is almost appalling. Jerry?
The Hitler did this so well. He proselytized the youth, brainwashed them, and so that they turned out to be a bunch of little Hitlers. The same thing is going on in ethnic studies programs, and in fact, in the Tucson Unified School District, the ethnic studies, the RASA program there, which they've now changed to Mexican-American studies because somebody finally figured out that RASA means race, and maybe that's not a good thing. And they have taught hate. They use a textbook by a guy named Adolfo Acuna. It's called Occupied America. In the textbook, it says, kill the gringos. They are anti-capitalism, anti-white. They teach hate. And those are things that nobody ever thinks of when you see them running around in Border Patrol, running around and chasing illegals in the desert. There's so much more to it.
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you're peeling back some of the layers of that scary onion, and which I think is a great thing. Stan, I'm sure you're getting flack for it. There's definitely controversy attached to this documentary. But what drove you guys to doing this? Because you thought, man, we gotta do something.
Well, you know, surprisingly, we have received absolutely no flack.
Ooh.
We have not been called racist because our film was done with truly journalistic integrity, and it shows both sides of the equation, not just about poor people from an impoverished nation looking for a better life and looking for employment. We show that, but we also show the other side, the consequences, and we do it in a fair and balanced way. So we have yet to be attacked for what we do and what we have filmed. And if people do attack us, they usually do so without having watched the film. So those are people who are just flat-out racist themselves and just simply go on the attack. But, you know, what prompted us to move forward on this, we went out to a layup area. That's an area where they hole up for – the illegal aliens will hole up for a day and shed all their belongings and redress on their route to being picked up. Well, we went to a layup area, and there's – hundreds of these, and I mean hundreds, scattered across the desert, and some of them, one of them we were on was the size of a football field, and you could walk across it, you know, on the discards, never touching the ground. It was just insulting to me that the environmental groups have not done anything about this.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. Great stuff. I'd love to have you guys back on again. Stan Wall, Jerry Meiser. People want to see this documentary. Where can they see it, guys?
Go to www.southernexposuredocumentary.us, and you can order it right there through PayPal, or you can get it on Amazon.com.
And you can watch the trailer and four webisodes, warning to viewers that it is not suitable for children. There are graphic scenes, but these are scenes that need to be seen by the public.
Good way to end this. Guys, thanks. Continue the good fight. Get that word out there. Appreciate
Thank
the time.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye, Kate.
Bye-bye. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load a little bit, talking about some tennis here and some other things that happened in the world of sports. I guess I'm not really lightening the load, because if you're a fan of the NFL, you're going to be very upset. NFL, there's a lockout, baby. I know you're not surprised. We've been talking about it. I knew it was coming.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySEAEnergy.com today.
It's fun to talk politics here on America Tonight. We love it, especially when we're looking down the road like 2012 and overall what both parties are doing, the Democrats and the Republicans. David Morey couldn't have a better guy to talk Democrats and strategy with. He is a leading progressive, certainly one of America's leading, also strategic consultants, too. Actually, he advised the Obama presidential campaign, and we saw how that went. David, thanks for coming on ATM. We appreciate your time.
Kate, great to be here.
So the Democrats, what, and this is a wide-open question, because we talk about this on, we look at all sides of this on this show. As you can imagine, the great thing about this show is we get all kinds of opinions. Like I like to say, left of left, right of right, and somewhere in between, and people who just aren't sure. So you're trying to get the, if you're trying to get the president reelected to another term, what are you playing on? What's the strategy there?
Well, I think, you know, part of the strategy is that he governs successfully. And I'm arguing the Democrats have to jump into what I'm calling the missing center, you know, which we don't see as much as we should today in the middle of all the crises swirling around us, you know, globally and in the U.S. You know, the center is where policy is really made. You know, I worked in government for a while. I worked on 12 campaigns around the world. In the reality of government, when it actually works, something in the center actually holds, and they actually get something done that rises above politics. You saw that in the lame duck session. I think for the Democrats to win, they're going to have to get to that missing center.
Yeah, and so you've actually developed five ways the Democrats should lead in what you're calling the missing center. So how do they do that? What are the five ways?
Well, I mean, they have to get bolder. I think they're, you know, in negotiations and business, there's an old principle, whoever goes first loses. And, you know, it's, I think it's been true for me in business. I learned it a long time ago. It isn't true in government, and it isn't true in politics. You've got to play offense. I wrote a book about this called The Underdog Advantage. You've got to go on the attack. You've got to be bold. You've got to go out there, you know, and take, more, I think, a more aggressive stance on the collective bargaining issue. Number two, you've got to use what I call truth as propaganda. You know, the truth of where this country is something the voters want to hear. I mean, I think, you know, they're grown up enough to hear it. I think politicians don't give them enough credit sometimes. And the fact of the matter is that we're in an unsustainable trajectory in foreign policy, in fiscal policy. It's unsustainable. It's like having a teenage kid who spends $1,000 a day. It's not going to end up pretty. You know, it's going to end up in crisis. And why do we have to get to a crisis before we plan for the crisis? That's my question. I think the Democrats have to use truth as propaganda. They got to tell some hard truths, like the governor from New York and New Jersey, to take two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, are both telling the truth with relatively high approval ratings. And finally, they got to rise above politics. I mean, the voters, you know, I mean, there's so much anger out there.
Yes.
At the political system. They got to get above that.
How do you do that, though? How do you get... I hear it every single night. People are frustrated. People are sick of it. People feel like, I'll tell you what, David, people definitely feel like the middle class is slipping into the ocean and just floating away. So how do you get the middle class back and get them to believe?
Well, I think the president has to take an even more aggressive leadership stance, you know, almost as if he was an independent candidate. You know, I used to think, and all the top pollsters tell me in 2012, you know, that there's especially if the economy's going down and there's as much frustration with both political parties as we see today, that there would be a gigantic opening for someone like Bloomberg to run for president. He apparently doesn't want to run. Trump does want to run. I mean, who knows? I mean, the president should be acting like that sort of independent candidate. Ross Perot, you know, who thought people were, you know, following him at his daughter's wedding, got 19% of the vote in 1992.
Mm.
You know, so there's that sort of independent missing center vote that's, by the way, going to be critical for any Democrat to win, that is sitting there looking for solutions. So you've got to get above the screaming of on the left and the right on cable TV, and you've got to find some solutions that get bigger than politics. That's what Obama did in the Tucson speech. That's, in fact, what he did when he delivered the race speech in the middle of the campaign. He rose above petty politics. And you know what? When leaders do that, they lead.
I agree. When leaders rise above the politics on no matter what their political stripe is, absolutely. In looking at, if you were handicapping this, and you've done this, you've been there before, if you were David Axelrod, if you were Robert Gibbs, if you're anyone on the ground, and you're and these guys know what they're doing, they did it well the first time around, who are you canvassing? What are you trying to collect out there besides some of what you just talked about with the missing center?
I think you've got to figure out, you know, self-identified liberals are in the 20-22% range of the population, of the voting population. Self-identified conservatives are in the low 40s, 40% or higher. So right away, you're at a 2-to-1 advantage. You're going to have to get people somewhere in the center to win the election. That's one reason you should go to this missing center. The other and more important reason is that's where government, as I said, really works. I mean, let's take the budget, for example.
Mm-hmm.
88% of the United States budget is not even being discussed by the political system now. 88%, and we're headed toward a financial crisis. I mean, we're headed for our own meltdown financially. There's not many economists that don't think it's true. I mean, we just can't sustain this debt spending. You know, the amount of money we spend on interest is so large and getting so much larger. 40% of what we spend as a government, we're borrowing from overseas. I mean, there's an unsustainability to this fiscal policy. And, you know, that's the kind of truth that I think, you know, the president, the campaign, I think, by the way, the president's a gigantic front runner to win re-election in 2012. You know, but I think they've got to get out and they've got to listen to those independent voters. They're going to have to find solutions in the center. They're going to have to find the Republicans have their own problems in terms of their party and divisions within their party. Somewhere in that center, you know, and the speaker, to my slight surprise, represents a little bit of that center right now, as opposed to sort of the Tea Party or the fringe of the Republican side, the part of that party that's not, you know, really looking at this budget with a real sort of clear sense of what the realities are. You know, we're going to have to look at all the hard decisions that these debt commissions offered. It's interesting. I mean, this is a sign of how broken. It's frustrating. You know, a couple months ago, the Simpson-Bowles Commission among many, recommended $4 trillion worth of cuts. They put the whole blueprint on the table, mm-hmm. and politicians are afraid to go there. I mean, that's what I mean by truth. There's some truth in that commission. Why can't they get there and tell the people the truth?
Yeah, because they're afraid to do that for some reason. Afraid of maybe being reelected because they're worried about...
The founding fathers were afraid. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a frustrating time now, I think. I mean, we need more courage. We need a little more courage in dealing with Libya. You know, I'm not saying we militarily intervene, but we've got to be helping more on the sidelines than we are. I think the administration's moving to that position. And we've got to be dealing with these hard, tough fiscal realities, as Chris Christie and Andrew Cuomo are doing, as Jerry Brown is doing. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And these governors, you know, are almost more grown up than Washington. You know, they're getting higher, relatively higher approval ratings because the American people say, you know what, I'm cutting down on my spending. Isn't it reasonable to think that government should be cutting down on its spending and finding new ways to create revenue and create growth?
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, you mentioned the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie. What if he were to throw his name into the ring for 2012? He could be formidable.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a political consultant junkie, you know, here. So I think I don't see any – I mean, this is such an early prediction, but I could lose a lot of steak dinners with this. But I think that – I don't see how you beat Barack Obama right now unless the economy – substantially contracts, crashes, unemployment goes up even higher. Real unemployment is ridiculously high, and still the approval ratings are relatively high for the president. If those realities start getting Carter-esque, if we start to see, you know, we're going to see a tripling of gas prices perhaps by the time the election takes place from where President Obama took gas prices. They were in like the 180 range.
Right.
We're going to see a doubling of food prices, a tripling of Fed Reserve money supply. You know, there are a lot of statistics that could go different ways. I don't see that happening. I see sort of a slow, you know, sort of, you know, very disappointing economic performance before we get to some currency crash, currency problem. But if it does get bad in 2012, I'd say Chris Christie is the guy that could beat give President Obama a run for his money. Maybe a few years from now, Jeb Bush, when we're a little less tired of hearing the name Bush. You know, but I think Chris Christie is a very formidable candidate right now. Of course, he's not really a candidate, is he?
No, he's not a candidate, but a lot of people are pushing him in that direction. Do you think Jeb Bush would really run if after the Bush name there's some distance there?
I think he'll definitely run, but in 2016. And I think in 2012, it's just a little bit too dynastic, you know,
uh-huh.
have him run. And I just think it's a little raw. But, you know, if you listen to Jeb Bush, he's a, you know, he's like a Rockefeller Republican. You know, he's doing a joint appearance and program with the president, with President Obama. I mean,
yeah.
he's pretty hard left if you want to look at these old labels as compared to his brother. And so the American people, you know, I think would be attracted to that given the right environment. I don't think 2012. I think he's not even thinking about it. I think 2016, he's going to be in there. And the key is if these Republican candidates don't catch on, and I'm just not sure I see some of them that catch on, but I could be wrong, could be Huckabee, although he's had a lot of problems lately, could be Gingrich, but, you know, there are a lot of negatives there, I think, in terms of the political you know, sort of handicaps.
Sure.
If they don't catch on, there's a lot of pressure for Chris Christie to get in the race. And that makes it a bit of a race, I think. I think he'd be a tough candidate.
Yeah, I agree. And the Sarah Palin factor, that's just dead. That's just rhetoric, right?
I don't see it happening. I mean, I think, I'm not sure she'll run. And she's had a rocky couple months. And I'm not sure, you know, I think that there's a question of competence that she raises. And, whenever that's been raised about President Obama, it's hurt him. I think that she'd have to get beyond that. And, you know, that's where Chris Christie looks really competent. And I think the American people, if they're questioning competence in these dire times, I don't mm-hmm. think you have a lot of luck becoming president.
Yeah, I agree with you. David Morey, always fascinating stuff. So fun to catch up with you. Thank you so much. Talking about that missing center, we'll be talking about that more here on ATN. Thanks, David.
Kate, have a good night. Cheers.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Here we go, the spring break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys!
If you want it, here it is, come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right, 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into health for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's getthetea.com.
But I love the snowboarding stuff. My nephew has me so hooked. In fact, I'm going to take a trip and I'm going to try my hand at snowboarding. He says he knows what he's doing. We'll see. He's 9.
Oh,
can I try?
Time to?
My first time. And the voice everybody is hearing in the background is that of Hannah Teeter. And everybody knows her name, of course. Can you remember? She took my breath away, the 2006 Winter Olympics in Italy. Remember that? The gold medal and the half pipe. She's got so many World Cup victories. I want to say like 6. And, of course, you think back to Vancouver. We did wall-to-wall coverage on those Olympics. And she captured a silver medal in the women's halfpipe there. Without further ado, the voice from the green room enters Hannah Teeter. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to ask you for some tips about what I should do in the snowboarding. But before we get to that, you are competing, or you're going to compete on Thursday. And actually, it's a pretty big deal. We've been following this. And when we talk about the Olympics, we got the U.S. Open Snowboarding Championships. And that's a big deal because, of course, you're talking about the half pipe that I mentioned and all these accolades that you have. And you're still in your prime in your career. And there's been some interesting conditions. So what's the scoop on that? What do you look for as you build up to get ready for Thursday?
Well, it's always fun for me because U.S. Open's in Vermont, and I get to come home to my parents' house and eat all the yummy home-cooked meals and just get ready in that way, being healthy. But I have training tomorrow, so that should be pretty nice and mellow. And then qualifiers are on Thursday, and then finals are on Saturday.
Yeah.
So just having fun, basically. That's how I build up for it.
There you go, having fun. I like that sport already. Do you? What? It's year round though. You have to be in shape. What do you do year-round? You have different training regimen, I'm sure.
Yeah, I surf a little bit, which is good cross-training, and I skateboard a little bit, and then I do the gym jock thing where I go to the gym and do the routine workouts and the agility and the core stuff just to keep everything prepped and maintained. And I mainly do a lot of gym stuff in the summer, and then in the winter I just snowboard all winter long, and that keeps you in shape to stay in sport.
Yeah, at this young, tender age there in your mid-20s, did you think that your career would explode the way it has?
I had no idea it was going in the direction that it's gone in. I started it, and it was super fun to be out with my friends and hanging out on the slopes and then doing a little contest. And I just had no idea I would make it to the Olympics and do well there and do well at the next one. And I'm looking to go to Russia, and it's just been such a journey.
Yeah, good for you, and you have that right attitude, too. And you and I have something in common, and people that listen to America Tonight know this. Something very near and dear to my heart, really honestly, is Children International. What they do for kids is unreal. You sponsor 7 kids in Honduras and the Philippines. You've been a sponsor since 2006. And, oh, by the way, CI finds out about it, and you're an athlete ambassador to Game On in that program, which we're going to talk about here in a second. What made you decide to sponsor the kids? What drew you to Children International?
Well, I sponsored a kid since I was young. My whole family used to sponsor a child, and we'd write to them, and they'd write back to us, and it was really amazing to see the changes that we were making in their lives for such a small amount of money. So I had that as a foundation growing up, and then as I got older, I just wanted to work on bigger projects. And so we have a connection with Children International through one-on-one sponsorships like I have, and then we have the underwear line, the Sweet Cheeks panties, and all the half the profits from that go to Children International's Game On program. And I'm getting riders on board with that whole program, like Gabby Vietari. She rides rails and competes in rail jams. And then Monica Bornwicki, she's a surfer. And it's cool to just expand and get people involved. And
yeah, no kidding. And you it's called Panties with a Purpose, as you were talking about, Sweet Cheeks. So when people buy that, as you said, part of that goes to the charity.
Yeah, so each pair of underwear you buy sponsors a child for a month, or feeds a child for a month.
Wow.
And then our big goal is just raising money for the Game On program and that whole thing, because they do everything from school to sports to, you know, to nutrition to helping families out, you know, super underprivileged families. So.
Yeah, no kidding. And so tell us about, because I know people are hearing this and are like, oh, Game On. So that's what you do. You develop communication skills and stuff for kids and younger kids in the community. Is that what Game On does, to give them confidence in these different areas of the world?
It does a wide range of things from that type of training, like for young kids growing up who aren't in school. It puts them in school. And, you know, they get to play sports, which they'd never be able to do otherwise, because there's no designated locations usually in third world places for sports. And then from the doctor to the dentist to the food that they don't have on their tables, it's a pretty wide program that it just, like, includes a multitude of things all in one for these kids and families.
Yeah, no kidding. Pay attention, everybody, because I think it's terrific what you're doing. Also, you've made some visits. Somebody told me that you visited with an elderly grandmother who's actually raising her grandchildren on pennies a day. I mean, nothing, right?
It was so intense that me and Monica and Gabby all went down there to Mexico to see the Game On program and meet the families. And one of the families we went to see was this grandmother with her kids, her kids. And she just was, like, in her late 60s, working all day, and she had 3 grandchildren that she cared for, and just living in these shack shanties. And it was inspiring for me and the other girls, because they had never seen anything like that, and it just changed their whole view on, like, wow, this is what it's really like out there in places.
Right, no kidding. And involving, obviously, Gabby, snowboarder, and also, as you said, Monica, surfer, is the idea, let's get some other people in some other sports even involved in this. Do you hope that you'll reach out to some other female athletes?
Yeah, we're hoping more athletes and hopefully some big celebrities to get on board and just to really push it out there and get it, you know, more well known, because right now it's just a really small, you know, production. So we're hoping to make it big so we can help out a lot of kids and get awareness out there of a cool product that really changes lives. And
yeah, no kidding. And it has, Children International has changed a lot of lives, and you're a longtime supporter. You were talking about your family and the letters and whatnot. And we'll say it again, 40% of the money that comes from the apparel line goes to the organization and Game On, which is a huge amount. So we'd be remiss not to talk about them and where people can get them. How'd you develop this clothing line?
Developed it after Torino, because I have the maple syrup for charity where we sponsored a town in Kenya, and I wanted to do another project, another product that could be kind of more received, because not everybody wants maple syrup. So so underwear and hopefully soon a more apparel line will you know, reach the hands of a lot more people than maple syrup would have. So it's just like a step up from that of trying to get out there more.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so you got to give me some tips. So I go meet my nephew in Park City, Utah. He knows what he's doing. I have no idea, Hannah. I've never even been on a snowboard. What do I do?
Your first time. So a lot of people hit their butt a lot in the beginning. So I tell people to wear butt pads because it's, you know, no big deal. They're like, I think Red has them, which is a company, Red has them for like $75, but save your butt if you hit it, if the snow's hard.
Right.
Yeah, because that'll just make you bummed if you have a big bruise on your butt.
No kidding. And how about keeping my balance? How do you're so good at it. How do you keep your balance? That's the part I don't get. You know, with skis, we have the poles to grab onto.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Well, it takes like five times snowboarding. Like, you go up five times and try hard at it, and then you kind of start to get it. Like, your whole awareness and connection with the snowboard starts to kick in. Like, you start to get each other, basically. And then it'll be fun. Have you ever surfed or skateboarded anything?
I have surfed. I have done that. I was okay. I'm not fabulous, but I can stand up and I can catch a small wave.
Yeah, the balance is kind of similar. But snowboarding, you're just way more free because you have a whole mountain.
All right.
So once that connection kicks in, when your brain starts to understand the snowboard, you'll be peachy and good.
There you go. I love it. Advice from one of the pros. You're a gem. Thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. We want to tell everybody, please support this program. All you have to do is get some panties, sweet cheeks, or go to children.org. You can make a difference in a children and a lot of children's lives, just like Hannah has done, Seven and her family, certainly, and the people around her. It's such a worthy, worthy cause. You are helping so many people on really just a small amount of money. Hannah, thanks for coming on ATN.
Thank you so much.